You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
All right, and now it's time for Neutral Corner. This week we're looking at recent elections in the state of Israel. This should not be confused with elections that happened earlier this year, which then failed. The Netanyahu government failed to form a coalition, and so they had to go to another election. It seems like he's coming slightly behind a more centrist candidate from the Blue and White Party. For more on this, for more of just a background, I got a clip from the BBC, which I'm not trying to say the BBC is entirely impartial, it's just that it's less editorial than the two clips I'll be playing afterwards.
Israeli TV exit poll showed no decisive victory for any side. The votes will be counted through the night, but it could take weeks of coalition horse trading before the next government and prime minister emerge. The election has been a referendum on Benjamin Netanyahu's last 10 years in office. He's Israel's longest serving prime minister. His main rival is retired General Benny Gantz from the Blue and White Party. Some of his supporters fear he was politically naive not to press harder on corruption charges faced by Mr. Netanyahu, which the prime minister denies. In opposition strongholds in Tel Aviv, queues of voters were waiting and hoping to end Mr. Netanyahu's political career.
What's wrong with Netanyahu?
Everything. What's not wrong with him? He's corrupted. He hates everyone. He rules on fear. He's too much right-wing.
But Mr. Netanyahu has reliable support from ultra-religious Israelis who have their own political parties. Just before the vote, they rallied in Jerusalem. In exchange for privileges for their community, they've supported Mr. Netanyahu's premierships.
Why am I going to vote? Because that's what my rabbis tell me to do, and that's what I'm going to do.
Who would you like as the next prime minister?
I guess Netanyahu, that's what the rabbis say.
The power of the ultra-religious has become one of Israel's most divisive issues. Mr. Netanyahu was, as usual, a formidable campaigner, even starring in his own commercials. In this one, he puts hikers back on the right track, while losers follow untrustworthy guides named after his opponents. Israelis have been offered more personal insults than policy debates. Mr. Netanyahu's message was that he's the only one with his powerful friends to protect Israelis from Iran and the Palestinians. In a close race, he upped the ante by promising to annex the occupied Jordan Valley, around a third of the land Palestinians want for a state. It was an extravagant gambit to keep the votes of the Israeli right. In the valley, it's harvest time for date farmers, Palestinians and Israelis who've settled here since it was captured in the 1967 war. Haidar Madat, a Palestinian farmer, says he was scared by the prime minister's promise of annexation.
Where is the peace that he's talking about? Netanyahu? He wants to take our land and we live from it.
Annexation will be off the agenda if Mr. Netanyahu can't form a government after all the votes are counted. On walkabout in Tel Aviv, this could be the politician the prime minister fears most once the coalition negotiations start. Polls suggest his party, called Israel Our Home, has made significant gains.
This man, Avigdor Lieberman, may become the kingmaker after the election. His party might control the balance of power when it comes to forming the next governing coalition. One important factor, though, he used to be a major ally of the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and now they're opponents, even enemies.
Late in the night, long after the exit polls, Prime Minister Netanyahu appeared in front of his supporters. They had been hoping for a celebration. But if the polls are correct, the end of the Netanyahu era could be in sight. Jeremy Bowen, BBC News, Tel Aviv.
And so coming up next, we have a clip from I-24 News, which is a sort of private broadcaster in Israel, doesn't appear to have any direct connection to the state. And it sort of pushes quite a sort of, I guess you could call it, liberal Zionist position. Famously, they hired the first Arab Israeli news anchor on a major Israeli TV network. And that, when I say Arab Israeli, that refers to people of Arab descent who live inside what's generally recognized by the international community as the state of Israel, as opposed to the occupied Palestinian territories of Gaza and the West Bank. And they don't have a great time. There's obviously a lot of discrimination against them, but they don't have any of the sort of immense restrictions that the people in the Palestinian territories do. And so you can see, because I'm sure there's some people out there who'll say I-24, it is all some sort of IDF propaganda network. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't, but at the same point, I wouldn't also be surprised if it was just business interests in Israel who want to present quite a liberal view to the world to sort of head off a lot of the sort of the boycott movement, which is building up a lot of steam right now. And so this was very much reflected in their coverage of the recent Israeli elections, where they especially built up the successes of Israel's Arab List party.
Because of that fact, the Arab Joint List seeming to secure itself as the third largest party in Israeli parliament. We spoke to a few residents here about how they feel about that. Let's hear what one of them told us.
I don't know what will happen really there. I support Ayman Oudeh. For me, he's really a king, he's a leader. I respect him very much. And I hope he works for us, the Arabs that live here in Israel, and they help us, support us, and maybe we will live in peace. This is what we want. I want to live in peace. Like I live here in Nazareth with the Muslims, Christians, and the Jews. I want them to live in peace, and this is what we have.
So as you can see, that feeling of hope is rippling through the community here. And Ayman Oudeh, the leader of the Hadash party, but also the leader of the Joint Arab List that saw that success last night, he gave a speech this morning where he talked about what might be the future of the Joint List, particularly in Israeli government or Israeli parliament. Let's hear what he had to say.
The main thing is that we, the Arab citizens, with our votes, prevented the formation of an extreme right-wing government headed by Benjamin Netanyahu. And listen to this beautiful sentence. Listen, father of Yair, incitement has a price. Listen, father of Yair, incitement has a price.
So as you can hear, that common rhetoric that was coming from the Joint List from all the leaders, really saying that they see this as the end of the Netanyahu era, though Oudeh made mention that he hasn't been in talks yet with any particular members of the leading parties, but that he would hold a strong stance in the opposition.
So as you heard there, that was quite a sort of positive spin on the recent elections. You saw how they sort of interviewed one guy and then sort of said that speaks for the community, which I think you should be a bit skeptical of. But I'm sure there are people, Arab Israelis, who are quite optimistic about it. Less optimistic are sort of Israel's traditional adversaries in the region, particularly the Republic of Iran, which has a long sort of contentious history with the state of Israel. Their sort of English language state broadcaster is Press TV, and they interviewed a guy named Bernie Katz, I think, who is a Jewish Canadian who's part of the Palestinian and Jews Unity Coalition, which doesn't appear to have any sort of huge out there sort of conspiracy anti-Semitic theories on their website. I had a brief look through it. There was something about like Jeffrey Epstein and Mossad, but that could be true. Anyway, so he gave an interview to Press TV, sort of bringing the opposite argument to what you just heard from I-24 and more focusing on the Palestinian issue and sort of what this means for them.
Joining us out of Montreal for more on this is Bruce Katz, co-president at Palestinian and Jewish Unity. Hello, Mr. Katz. Pleasure to have you back on one of our bulletins. Your thoughts on these exit polls and the ramifications for occupied territories?
Well, I don't think it's very surprising. Basically, this election is really just a referendum on Benjamin Netanyahu, who basically called this election to try and keep himself out of prison, because should he fail to form a coalition, he might very well be facing a trial on corruption, which could result in prison sentence. But as far as this election concerns the Palestinians. It makes no difference whether it's a Likud coalition or a blue and white led coalition, because both of these parties are favorable to annexation of the illegal Israeli settlements. And if we go back to the previous election, Gantz campaigned on, both of them campaign on a racist basis. Gantz, the previous election, campaigned on how many Palestinians he had killed and how much destruction he had caused in Gaza in 2014. So to call this a centrist party, I think, is a misnomer. It's misleading. Basically, what you have here is a political struggle between the possibility of an extreme right coalition once more under Netanyahu, or a right of center coalition led by the blue and white. But both coalitions would be talking about annexation of the settlements, which is again flagrant violation of of international law. But what annexation will finalize is the fact that that Israel is an apartheid state, and that even even among pro-Israel political commentators on the right or far right, the word apartheid is creeping into their own discourses. So basically, as far as living conditions and of the Palestinians, and we might also add the Bedouin, were being forced out of the Negev, it changes nothing.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.